Have you ever asked that question? Why do these things happen to me? You know, the Bible is full of why. David in Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? In the book of John, as Lazarus has passed away, when Jesus comes up, Mary and Martha come and say, hey, if you've been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Basically saying, why did you let him die? Gideon, when the angel approaches him in Judges chapter 6, says, and say, oh, thy mighty man of valor. Gideon basically asked the angel, said, well, wait a second. You know, if the Lord's on our side, then why are these things happening to us? And the question comes up, why? Sometimes we might feel like Charlie Brown.
Amen.
And we look at the sky and we just say, why are these things happening to me? You know, the why we ask God things is revealing of our heart. It may be revealing of our spiritual need. The disciples, when they couldn't cast out the demons out of the demon-possessed child, say, why could we not cast them out? Kind of like blaming Jesus for this. And we got to be really careful when we look at things and see things on Facebook, and it gets us depressed because people that we don't think should prosper, and people that are doing the right thing don't. And even the Proverbs say, why do the wicked prosper? But tonight I want you to take your Bibles and find this book, Habakkuk. Find the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at all chapter 1 tonight. And Habakkuk asked this question too. To kind of put this into a time setting, Habakkuk was a prophet at right before Judah went into Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians are on the rise. The Assyrians are in decline. Josiah is basically contemporary with him, and his son Jehoahaz came and he was deposed, and the Egyptians came in and overthrew the land and put a guy by the name of Jehoiakim as king, and he was a very wicked king. And so Habakkuk sees all the things around him and he starts asking why. And so we see these things in the first four verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. You know, you always hear this question, why do bad things happen to what? Good people. You know, why does God allow these things to happen? And here in this passage, we see Habakkuk, the prophet. And in verse 1, it says, the burden of which Habakkuk the prophet did see. You know, oftentimes when we get concerned about things, we just don't understand the why it becomes a burden to us. And he goes on and he says here in verses 2 through 4, he says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out of thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment does never go forth. You know, sometimes when we start seeing problems, we just kind of make them bigger than what they really are. We start exaggerating about them. And what Habakkuk is saying here, he's saying, look, your law's not working. Your word's not working here. He says, therefore the law is slack and judgment does never go forth. Wow. Have you ever used those words, those absolutes like never and always? Yeah. Be careful. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. See, Habakkuk has a complaint. And just like Job, you know, it's not wrong to come to God with your burdens. You know, Job was a righteous man. He was singled out by God for being righteous. He allowed Satan to touch him and take away all of his substance, then take away all of his family, then basically take away his health. And everybody's telling Job, why just curse God and die? Job wouldn't give up his integrity. But then as time goes on and as we go through a trial and it doesn't seem that there's any relief in sight, we get discouraged and we cry out, why? Habakkuk is like that right now. He's been seeing the decay of Israel go on, Judah go on for some time, and nothing's changing. And it seems like all the promises and all the word of God doesn't come true. And so he has a complaint. He says, I don't understand. And folks, when we don't understand something, the person you need to go to is God. If any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. You have not because you ask not. You will receive an answer. It may not be what you want, but God will answer if we're on right footing with Him. So Habakkuk has his first complaint here in these first four verses. He asks four questions. And I wonder if we don't ask these questions too. The first one's found in verse 2. He says, how long will I cry for help from you, but it seems like you're not listening to me? God, you're not moving fast enough. You're not moving the way I want you to do. And sometimes we take that as thinking that God is not answering our prayers. Jesus in his verse, in his very first sermon, talked about persevering in prayer. James talks about asking prayer, nothing wavering. So sometimes we see things go wrong and we want the instant fix. And when we don't see the instant fix, we say, hey, God's not answering my prayer. But here is a point. God is sovereign. God hears your prayer. God will answer on His time and in His way. Amen. And just because He doesn't answer your way doesn't mean He's not working behind the scenes. You may not be able to see it yet. So He says, how long must I call for help? But you don't listen. And haven't, I don't know, probably we've all at one time or another, you know, thought God just doesn't hear our prayers. The second one is found in the same verse. He says, how long? I see all this violence and you do not save. You know, why do people walk down the street and get shot? You could prevent that. You could prevent that. And Habakkuk is saying this. Why do you not put a stop to God? You could have solved all this by preventing Adam and Eve from sinning in the garden. You know, if you knew that that was going to happen, why didn't you put that tree there? Why did you let Satan get in there? Why did you do all this stuff? And sometimes we start getting mixed up. And he says, all these bad things are happening here. No, the disciples come and say, why do bad things happen? Like this Tower of Siloam fell and killed a bunch of people. And God said, was it because of sin? God healed a blind person. And he said, was it because he was born blind because of sin? No. Sometimes we just don't answer, but we know that God is sovereign. And then in verse 3, And boy, isn't this like today. Just look around you. Watch the TV. He says, why do I have to sit here and look at iniquity and grievance all the day long? Why do I have to look at all these ungodly things? And why am I going through it? He's basically asking, he says, why am I having to endure? I am a righteous person, God. I'm your prophet. Why do I? I should have to go in there. Now, wait a second. When we were kids in elementary school, and the teacher said, don't talk while I leave the room.
Yeah, right.
And then leaves the room, and then everybody goes, and there's riot there. And they come in, and now you have group punishment. Well, I didn't do it! Well, I didn't do it! We've all been there, right? We've all suffered group punishment. I got swats for something I didn't do. So, the issue is, you know, negative things affect positive people. And folks, that's the consequence of sin nationally. We're suffering right now. We're seeing iniquity. We're seeing grievance right now because people won't turn to God. People won't turn to God. He said, why am I having to endure these things when I did nothing wrong? And you know, as you start asking these questions and you start kind of mulling them over in your mind, you come up with some bad theology. And so it really comes in the issue. And in verse 4, before I put up the bullet, he says, therefore the what? The law is slack. He says, you're not keeping your word. And judgment doth what? Never go forth? For the wicked, because of the situations we're on now. And oftentimes we get in a situation where we look at the situation, we forgot what God's done in the past. We forget all the promises of God. Any student of the book knows that God judges things. He judged Israel. He judged the world with a flood. He judged the nation of Israel when they fell away through the book of Judges. You can read all that. But then, this verse right here basically says this. Why do you tolerate wrong? You know, through the Bible we see verses about why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? And then we come up with the idea that that's not fair. That's not fair. And really, Habakkuk needed to ask this question. Why do I now have a wrong perception of God? Because oftentimes we get in a problem, we sit there, we forget what's happened to us in the past. We forget the promises and the truth of God's word. We start thinking our own way and not God's way. And we basically think that if God doesn't act the way we think, then he's not listening to us at all. If God doesn't work on the same time, then he doesn't care. And that's not the issue at all. So Habakkuk has a complaint. The fortunate thing is he's actually seeking God with this complaint. And folks, Romans 8 tells me this. It says if we pray to God that if we have the Holy Spirit and we pray to God, he's going to fix our prayers. I'm glad for that because I make a mess of prayers at times. Up here. I bangle names. God knows. God knows. But what we need to do is we need to keep a proper perspective of God when we just don't see things happening the way we think it should happen. So God gives an answer here. In verses 5 and 11, it says, behold, ye among the heathen. Ha! So, he knows exactly the place that you're in. In regard. and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not what? Believe. See, the real issue is God's going to get right to the heart of the matter here. He says, Habakkuk, I want to give you an answer here. Are you going to believe it? You know, we have God's word here, and we have all the promises and the truth of God's word. Do we believe it? Everything's here is for life and what? Godliness. He says, though it be what? Told you. You're a prophet. You're supposed to be telling everybody. I'm going to tell you some things now. He says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, talking about Israel and Judah, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. You think it's bad now? You got your own house. It's going to get what? Worse. They are terrible and dreadful. Oh, that's promising news. Their judgment and their indignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the lepers and are more fierce than the evening wolves. When the Chaldeans, the first basic good empire came on, as far as military is concerned, they had great military. They had great cavalry. And they could overrun foot soldiers. And that's why they could conquer very well. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. Because the army is not on foot, but on hoof, can go a lot further in the same period of time. And so that's why they could conquer vast amounts of land. They shall fly as the griffin vulture. It's what that is, that hasteth to eat. And just like any bird of prey, it gets higher and higher and higher so it can get what? More speed to come down and get the prey. And so the Chaldeans, he said, I'm raising these up for this. They shall come for what? All for violence. Their faces, and remember what he asked? He says, why do I have to cry out in violence and you don't answer? Guess what? There's more coming. For their faces shall sup up as the east wind. They shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his own power, that this his power unto his God. So here's God's answer. In verse 5, he says, this is what's going to happen here. Behold, I raise up the Chaldeans, and this is what's going to happen, although you're not going to what? Believe it. Folks, we need to understand that this is truth, and we need to believe it. We need to understand that God's prophecy is going to come true. We've seen that through the Christmas season. We need to understand that the prophecies about the future are going to come true, too. Amen. We need to live as if we believe it.
That's right.
See, if the nation lived as if they believed it, things would be better. So, his answer was this. He says, just watch what goes on and see. We're supposed to walk circumspectly, looking around and seeing the things and understanding this. No, sorrow endureth for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. So he gives four things here. He says, all this stuff that you're seeing in Judah is going to come to an end. Judgment's coming. It's just not going to come from within. And you know the sad part about it is, this didn't have to happen if Israel had repented and turned to God. And oftentimes we think of God's mercy and delaying judgment as tolerance. It's not tolerance. It's mercy. And when you hear the truth spoken, you need to follow it. So he says it's a coming judgment. And it's a conquering judgment. He gives all these metaphors and all these adjectives in verses 7 and 8 about how fast this army is going to move. What their destructive power is going to be. And he says, you need to look at this. Just observe. Just observe and see what's going to happen here. The third thing is going to be complete. In verse 9 it says, And they shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And what's God saying here? He said, everybody that's walking against me is going to be gathered up and judged. Remember, Christ himself in Matthew 13 said at the end time judgment, the wheat and the tares are going to be gathered together. And the wheat is going to be separated from the tares, and the tares are going to be burned up. That's a complete judgment. And then he says it's not just a complete, a conquering judgment, but it's going to be a condemning judgment. Because what happens to the Babylonians? Yes, they are the instrument of God's judgment. And then they conquer because God allowed them to do it. And then after they got everything done, they say, hey, look what we did. You know, Israel did the exact same thing. They go in the promised land, and God does miraculous things and drives people out supernaturally. And then they say, well, look at what we did. And then they turn their back on God. You know, the Chaldeans should have sat there and said, you know, we've had some pretty good success here. I wonder why. They could have sought God, but they didn't. Instead, they said, hey, we did this ourselves. We'll pat ourselves on the back. And then Nebuchadnezzar figures out how that worked out for him. And then his grandson found out how that worked out for him when he defiled the temple vessels. And then in one night, the Medes come in and sack the city. So see, we need to understand that God's judgment, in God's judgment, we often condemn ourselves. So God's answer, God will always give an answer here. And you know, somebody says, just watch. We need to watch and see how God moves. God's moving in the world today. We need to watch how it's happening and see this. Well, in verses 12 through 17, it finishes the chapter. It says, so Habakkuk gives a second complaint, basically. He says, aren't thou not from everlasting, O God, Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for what? Correction. Habakkuk starts to really see what's going on here. Thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? It maketh men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, into their net, and burn incense into their drag. Because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? So see, Habakkuk has this dilemma that he's dealing with. And here is his misperception of God. He really says, hey, why are you using the unholy Chaldeans to come and judge your holy people? Because his people weren't holy. Because his people didn't repent. Because God had sent prophets rising up early in the morning, and they would not hear. And he did it for generations, and they didn't listen. And And God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, what? To repentance. And if God doesn't get the proper action out of His people, He's going to change the circumstances to get the right result. And it's going to be external. So you can either be the instrument of God, or you could be acted on by the instrument of God. It's your choice. And this is the issue. See, there's two fundamental truths here. Israel didn't clean up their act. That was the reason. If Israel cleaned up their act, God said, all these promises are going to happen to you. They didn't do it. And folks, if you don't listen to God and don't do what He says, don't expect the blessing. Expect judgment. If you do what He says, and you live by His rules, and we live out of His loving for Him, then you can't expect blessing. Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things be added unto you. See, there's two fundamental truths that we even see. God will not forsake His people. See, oftentimes we start wondering when we start asking why, and we forget all the other promises that God had made. Promises that had not been fulfilled yet. And in God, all promises in God are what? Yea. There's no shadow of ever of Him turning. And the other thing is that God is a just God. The world wants to think that God is just love. And He is. But on the other side of that, He is a God of justice. Right. See, the point is, God's telling Habakkuk, He says, this is not, He even says it here, He says, this is not to destroy Israel. This is to discipline them. So Habakkuk is saying all these situations here and say, hey, why is all this happening? And God answers, because people won't listen. Why do you have to use another nation to judge us? Because people won't get right. Why do all these circumstances are happening? I've seen all these things because you could have fixed it years ago and you didn't. And the things that you accuse me of tolerating, I'm not going to tolerate anymore. And then I'm going to judge them. And we ask today, why does God do what He does and not what we want Him to do? So we want Him, bless me, O Lord. But we don't want to follow Him. Give me health and give me strength and give me all these things. But don't ask me to commit myself to You. Be my Savior, but not the Lord. And that's the problem here. In Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, and these are verses for us now. God tells the psalmist, says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He tells Habakkuk, watch. Watch the nations and you're going to see me work. You're asking why? I'll tell you why. I'll show you how. It's different than what you think it is, and you need to believe it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord, and He just says, do the right thing. Seek from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers will be what? Cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And folks, today's church is getting judged. We expect God's blessing, and people are not in defiance of God's law. In defiance of His Spirit. doing things that God says shouldn't be done. And then we expect God to bless us. It's not going to happen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Paul's writing says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation?" See, the message of Habakkuk rings true today. Let's not forget what was said, which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. And folks, I'm not talking about just individual chastening. The things that we're going through right now is a national chastening. Nehemiah prayed for the sins of the country, for the fathers and the sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? And so the issue is you can live a righteous life and still have negative consequences because of the unrighteousness of other people around you. And we need to pray that they get delivered and they get cleansed of this. We can suffer because we did not speak up enough and stand up enough and let wickedness come in high places. And now it says when the wicked rule, the righteous what? Mourn. And we could be suffering the consequences because we're not standing up for God. And every day you don't stand up for the truth, more of this is going to happen. And I want to encourage you tonight to do that. It's just not about me, it's about us. And it's just not about our church, it's about our city and our nation and our world. And we need to get a perspective that God has. And see them as needing a Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says this, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began with us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" We're supposed to be a holy nation, a peculiar people. It's okay to ask why. Christ Himself on the cross, when everything turned dark, and we just studied this last week. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if God can ask, if God the Son can ask God the Father why, we can too. But we need to be ready for the answer. And we need to look at ourselves. And we need to look outside of ourselves and see why the things are happening the way they are. God will answer these things. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, a verse that I've quoted oftentimes, "Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God." See, Habakkuk was a righteous man, but he was suffering because of the unrighteousness of the people. And folks, there's things going on that I know for a fact that we clean up our act, things will start happening in a positive way. And so we need to look at ourselves and ask God, not why, but what. What is causing this? And if it's me, I want to fix it tonight. If it's somebody else, I need to pray for them. If it's a national thing, we need to pray for a country. We should pray for a country anyway. So, what has God spoken to you now? Are you asking God why? Come to Him and find the answer. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to come to you and accept your answer. Lord, help us, Lord, to live for you that we can judge ourselves and so we would not be judged. Lord, I just ask that you just have your full reign of your Holy Spirit here tonight. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.